Hi, Philip Rolla here. Welcome to another podcast, and this one's about fluids. Kind of a follow-up to my ideal fluid podcast a couple weeks ago. So I've been asked a few times, what's my protocol for fluid resuscitation? And I kind of shrug my shoulders and cringe a little because I don't think it's something that can be protocolized. As you know, that would, go against the N equals one philosophy of treating the patient and individualizing therapy to the patient in front of you. So I can't really come up with a protocol per se, but I can come up with an approach. I can come up with an approach that tries to blend physiology and evidence. So I think the first step is determining what exactly are the depleted compartments. You want to know whether your patient is just intravascularly volume depleted or both intravascular and extravascularly volume depleted. That's the first distinction point. So how do you do that? That's really a clinical evaluation, a mix of physical examination, traditional physical examination, looking at mucous membranes and JVP and skin turgor and anything else you can really take a look at. And trying to get an idea of that extravascular space, looking for edema or lack thereof. Second is IVC ultrasound. I'm not going to get into that debate now, but I think it's the most practical and reliable and rapid, assessment that we can do today. You can always, if you've got that capability, you can always combine it with looking at your LV. That's even more fraught with issues, but if you see a tiny little IVC combined with a hyperdynamic LV that's, very, EF is up over 80% or kissing walls or whatever you may, that's makes that IVC even more, or that assessment even more sensitive. That's the first point. Determine whether your patient is either intravascular or both intra and extravascular volume depleted. Once you've established that, then you can start thinking of choices. So, if my patient is both intra and extravascularly volume depleted, this is where I think crystalloids are the best, because I'm happy with that 75% of the crystalloid going extravascular because I need it to. I'm not concerned with development of edema and third spacing in this case. That's where I want it to go. So the more I'm going to be on that edge of the spectrum, the more I'm going to go towards crystalloids. If, on the other hand, the patient's only intravascularly volume depleted, then I'm going to tend to be more towards using either a combination or going with colloids. So let's say my patient is intravascularly volume depleted, but he essentially has a normal extravascular volume status. He doesn't have any edema. He's, essentially like a, let's say someone who had a simple GI bleed, but who was otherwise healthy, comes in essentially normal physical exam. Then I don't mind giving some crystalloid if I want to replete some of the volume status, because I'm not particularly concerned about too much edema formation. I'm not anticipating necessarily giving a ton of fluid at this particular point. On the other hand, if I've got someone who's very edematous, let's say it's an ICU patient who's been, say another GI bleed, but this time it's an ICU patient who's been resuscitated, who's got lots of edema, whose albumin is 14, then I'm not so keen on giving this guy some crystalloids, because then for every liter I'm giving, I don't really feel like adding 750 cc's to his extravascular space, which is already edematous with skin breaking down, or he's got some pulmonary edema or whatnot. So in that case, I'm going to go right away more towards colloids. So that's kind of the general approach. Think also particularly about if your patient has particular pathologies where you'd be even more concerned about extravascular fluid accumulation. This is someone who's coming in with a bad bilateral pneumonia. Those capillaries are going to be leaky. They're most leaky in the lungs. I don't really want to have 3/4 of every drop that I'm giving go extravascular, because probably a little more is going to go there than in his ankles or his hands, where it's mostly cosmetic. If someone's got bad peritonitis with an ileus and their bellies are already distended, I don't really want to give them a ton. I don't really want to give these people 6 liters of crystalloids and have them go into abdominal compartment syndrome. I think these things are important. I think the data is out there. You look at the SOAP study or the subsets of the VAST study. They show that too much fluid isn't good. Whether you're looking at people's total net fluid balances, some studies they looked at CVP. I'm not a fan of CVP, but that's what they looked at in these cases. And you know, these people have increased length of stay, increased ventilator, increased mortality groups. It's not good. So that's the general approach. If I want to replete both intra and extravascular spaces, go with crystalloid. If I just want to replete the intravascular space and I'm not going to need much and my patient's healthy, then crystalloid still probably. But the sicker they get and the more edematous, or if I have concern about extra vascular fluid accumulation, then I'm definitely going to tend more towards colloids. So just quickly, we can elaborate another time about which specifically for what, but what are my colloid choices? I think today, colloid choices are albumin, well proven by the SAFE study to be safe. Certainly blood products may be appropriate in some situations, whether it's plasma, blood, platelets, whatever you may need. Those act as colloids in terms of volume expansion. Or the other option, when I mentioned colloid, I could also really mention hypertonic saline in there. I think hypertonic saline is quite underused. It's quite inexpensive. It's got a number of interesting anti-inflammatory properties. So I'm a fan of using it. I use either 3% or 7.5% in boluses of 125 to 250 over 15 minutes. It's important to give it fast. And so those are the options on that end. And in terms of the crystalloids, the current option, North American option, is really Ringer's lactate or plasmolite if you have some of that available. But definitely stay away from normal saline. There's nothing normal about it. We'll talk about that some other time. So anyways, I'm going to put up also a little flow chart. Feel free to download it. Feel free to put it up anywhere. Feel free to claim credit for it if you wish.